Okay, Philippians chapter 1. As we continue on here, the Apostle Paul is bringing to the attention of the saints here, Philippi, okay, and in regards as concerning the gospel of pretense and a gospel of goodwill. Okay, that there are those that are able to hold forth a form of knowledge without the power of God. And the Apostle Paul is bringing that to the attention of the saints here. But again, he's referring to himself according to the calling that, because of the calling that he has, that he is a city of refuge for the saints, whereas he speaks earlier about being a defense, okay, to the gospel. And of course, he brings that out earlier there as concerning in verse 7, okay, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, which shows that the Spirit of the Lord is working with his apostleship. Okay, and that because he's joined to Peter, okay, that he is as a city of refuge. Okay, being a city of refuge is concerning, okay, assisting the saints, okay, that come into his care. Okay, assisting the saints to come into his care there. Now, here we go on in verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of also of goodwill. So he's showing us the contrast here. Okay, concerning those, okay, that want to stand in self-determination, okay, preaching that which is, that comes forth out of the moral code. Now, that which comes forth of the moral code is assisted by a seducing spirit, okay, but that which comes from the foundation of truth is assisted by the anointing. Okay, the Holy Ghost, okay, works with the knowledge. Okay, so some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, okay, that of the aspirations, okay, which also are carried forth, is carrying forth the substance of the Satan's kingdom. Okay, more or less like a placebo, okay, as we discussed last time, a placebo or as a mannequin in a window. It has all the appearances of righteousness, okay, but possesses no life. Okay, it's the same thing with an apparition, okay, that has the appearance, okay, of okay, of a living entity, a being, okay, but there's no life inside of it. It's hollow, cold, and dead, okay, and its substance is of hell, okay, as the Apostle James brings out. Okay, so some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. So we can see that the temperament, okay, assists that perception and behavior and that oath, okay, is also a substance. This is a substance of darkness. He calls it envy and strife. Okay, and some also of goodwill. Okay, being tethered to the Lord, okay, our behavior is ordered by His oath, and because our behavior is ordered by His oath, okay, the substance of Christ is forthcoming in that. Okay, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Okay, as Paul brings out in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through this form of engagement, a substance is born, just like planting a seed in a soil. Through that form of engagement, okay, the seed, smelling the water, the moisture, okay, responds to that, and it brings forth the expectation is forthcoming, okay, in fruit bearing. Okay, in verse 16, okay, now those the one preaches Christ of contention. Now he calls it envy, strife, and contention. Now, the Christ of contention, okay, brings, okay, a conflict within the soul. Okay, it brings conflict in the soul. It is not the same, see, that is the challenge of the conscience, but it does bring conflict to the soul. Okay, in other words, it sets a person on a journey to try to resolve the imbalances of their own scale. Okay, and then when they're set on a journey to try to resolve those things, they're resourcing the law of Moses, okay, and works apart from grace, okay, to try to achieve these things. Now, works apart from grace, okay, are works of debt. Okay, the works of debt are the works of death. Okay, the presence of death is accompanying, okay, that journey. Okay, when death accompanies that, okay, it's consuming your produce. Okay, consuming your produce like the mildew or the mice, okay, or any kind of form of plague upon the trees, okay, or upon the branches. Okay, so And death is as a worm or frost upon the branches, okay, of your labor. Okay, death accompanies that fruit. You know, that's why it calls it contention. Okay, and of course the contention again has to do with also trying to resolve, see, the conditions of the soul with the, which has to do with the moral code by text. Okay, by text, by precept. So the one preaches their gospel, okay, being their gospel historically is correct, okay, in one form, but yet there's another spirit assisting it. Now, even the demons during the first century there, when Jesus was on earth, okay, even the demons confirmed Jesus as the Son of God. Okay, even the demons confirmed him as the Son of God. And Jesus, teaching his apostles, okay, would openly, okay, refuse the confirmation of those spirits, telling them to remain silent. Okay, that their confirmation does not add any validity, okay, to his mission as the Son of God, because they're not conforming to the mission. Okay, they're not building the house of God, okay, but they are confirming it. They will confirm it, okay, but will not conform it, conform to it. Okay, or to build with that, just like the Antichrist, the beast, okay, will confirm the existence of God and will confirm as concerning the plan of God as his involvement within it, but he will not conform to truth. Okay, he won't conform to truth because there's no truth in him. Okay, but he will insist upon the truth of his own aspiration or the truth of his own principle. Okay, and he will also have these added factors, that he will cast out devils. And this is the beast now. He will cast out devils. He will give sight to the blind. He will cleanse the lepers. He will walk on water. He will multiply the bread. Okay, the beast is going to have his own deliverance ministry and his own healing ministry. Okay, but he cannot give life. He will not be able to raise the dead because there is no life in death. Okay, so here we can see, okay, a gospel of similarities, but also a gospel of great conflict. A gospel of similarities, but a gospel of great conflict. Right? Just like Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, many shall come in that day and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Okay? Just like he also brings out in Matthew chapter 7. Okay, as concerning in that day of judgment, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out devils, in your name do many wonderful works. Okay, well, Lord, we had a large ministry. Okay, we stood on your behalf. Okay, as concerning the historical texts. Okay, but as concerning the work of regeneration, okay, and the absence of the substance of faith. Okay, their vessels being bare, they had nothing as concerning bringing a gift into the presence of the judge, the true judge, God, the judge of all. As Paul brings out in Hebrews. Okay, they had nothing to offer the judge because they were not keeping his commandments as concerning loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Okay. There are those that can say they love God but yet hate their brother. And of course the Apostle John agrees to that because he says, he that says he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar, which means he's working by another record. Okay, the individual that says they love God and yet hates their brother, as concerning estranging one from the vine. Okay, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Now, an individual that estranges themselves from the vine, they or carry a different scent, okay, are those who say they love God, okay, and yet remain hostile as concerning building the kingdom of God, okay, as bring a fruit bearer being engrafted into the vine. That Christ is not the refuge of those which are cut off. Okay, so here the Apostle Paul is making those same distinctions. Okay, he's making these distinctions for the experience of the saints, because experience brings hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And we'll be reading about that. Okay, where he says, that in nothing I am ashamed. See that we see that in verse 20, as we're reading up to that point. Okay, experience bringeth hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now the experience which Paul is bringing to the understanding of the saints here has to do with the conflicts that will exist and manifest themselves. Okay, and he brings that out in Romans chapter 5. Okay, now with these things, okay, your senses are being exercised to discern good and evil. Okay, with these things, your senses are being exercised to discern good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 brings that out. Okay, so now if you can unite these two scriptures together concerning Romans, okay, chapter 5, okay, around verse 6 there, 5 and 6, okay, and also Hebrews, okay, chapter 5, verse 14, we can see there's a connection there as concerning having one senses exercised and the experience that accompanies it. That God richly provides experiences for us. Even during Jesus' ministry, okay, the conflicts that arose within his ministry, okay, those which of close family, okay, those which were of his personal group, okay, and those also which were trying to excite riot against him, like the scribes and the Pharisees, provided a rich environment of experience for his apostles. So, whereas Jesus would bring to the attention of the saints, okay, to the apostles there, as concerning what kingdom, okay, was manifesting itself. And we can see that Jesus brought this experience and exercising of senses to the attention of Peter, which he delighted in. Okay, Jesus delighted in that. Okay, when he says, "Peter, upon this rock you build my church." Okay, Jesus was delighting in the reciprocation of Peter to the knowledge of Christ, okay, working with the grace of God. But then when Peter wanted to stand within his own aspiration, he resisted the refuge. He resisted the anointing, being Christ. Okay, he resisted the grace of God. And that's why Jesus rebuked him. But Jesus' rebuke of Peter, okay, was not for the purpose of spoilage, okay, but for the purpose of pruning. Okay, the purpose of pruning, it was that, "Peter, by this experience, you're going to be a leader of the apostles." Okay, that you're going to be eyes to the saints. Okay, and by this experience, see, Satan will not be able to cast a shadow over you. Okay, that you will not be listening to the echoes of the kingdom of darkness, okay, but you'll be listening to the voice of my throne. Okay, because the echoes of darkness are as they stand as a shadow of a tree. Okay, the shadow of a tree possesses no life. Okay, but the tree itself possesses life, but the shadow doesn't. Now that shadow is the echo of darkness. Okay, the word echo, okay, is applied to the voices of darkness, the voice of Satan. Okay, because they try to carry the voice or the empowerment of that knowledge, okay, as the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost carries the empowerment of God's knowledge. That's why he's called the voice of the Lord. Okay, because that empowerment, okay, is what we live by. That empowerment provides experience. That empowerment provides growth for us. Okay, and it causes us to continue to press forward, okay, as concerning our hope and promise. Without these things, okay, that of concerning the experience and exercising of our senses, as Paul brings out, okay, we would become dormant and stale in our Christian life. Okay, and when you become dormant and stale, okay, you become tasteless. Okay, as the Apostle John brings out there, okay, as the Spirit of the Lord speaks to the Apostle John, and he's pinning these things in the book of Revelation, because you're neither cold nor hot, but because you're lukewarm, okay, being tasteless to me, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Okay, now the tastelessness, okay, of the Laodiceans was a result, okay, concerning their lukewarmness. They were not progressing within their experiences of his grace. Okay, their prayer life was very weak, if any. The study of doctrine was very weak in any, okay, if any of that. And that's why I insist upon your application of prayer. You must increase in prayer. You have to, seeing that we're now, that we're at the stage now of the weeks, okay, of the second, eighth week, okay, the apostasy will start coming forth. The manifestation of that apostasy will come forth, even as it did in the first century. Okay, even when the apostles of the original 12 there, okay, were still around, Paul and Peter, James, John, even when they were still around, okay, a spoilage began to take root as concerning the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Okay, there were many of those which believed, which were of the priesthood or the Pharisees, okay, and the Levites, the priesthood, many of those believed, okay, concerning Jesus' mission. Okay, but as concerning the mystery of Christ, okay, and submitting to themselves to the stewardship of that grace, okay, they were rather reluctant, because they still wanted to maintain, okay, a position of self-determination, Okay, the self-determination is concerning the direction of the record of their own soul, and that's what John brings out. Okay, that he is not a light, but he is darkness. Okay, and that he is a liar. Okay, one that holds to their self-determination, using the record of their own soul, okay, for the direction of the church, okay, which those of that first century there, the Pharisees, okay, wanted to maintain. Okay, they still wanted to maintain the richness of the traditions of their own people, because it was those traditions, okay, which they nurtured very zealously, that kept the people in a state of spoilage. They kept the people in a state of being tasteless to the Lord, lukewarmness. Okay, and the apostles, were weaning the people, from that particular mindset and tradition. And Jesus said, the gospel that I preach unto you is going to bring division. Okay, it's going to be even in one family, two against three, three against two, father against the mother, mother against the father, children against the parents, in-laws against their daughter-in-law or son-in-law. Remember, Jesus went through the whole gambit there, as concerning relationships. Okay, the gospel that I preach unto you is going to bring divisions, and people are going to hate you because you're going to embrace faith. Okay, there is a changing of tradition from a tradition of the rhythm of nature, which was given through Moses, to that which is the rhythm of the Spirit, which I'm giving to you. Okay, which Jesus said, that you have to eat of me now. No longer are you eat the bitter herbs of Moses' table, or the bread, of the first fruits, because I am the first fruits of God, and those that eat of me must die daily. Now we'll be reading about that too as we proceed on here. So here the Apostle Paul bringing to the attention of the Philippians this valuable treasure of discernment, so that those which are weak and beggarly and feeble, the feeble Christians become food for the wolf. They become food for the wolf because, having not that experience of discernment, they'll be swept away by the passion, and not established in the foundation. Okay? Young Christians are swept away by passion, but those which have their senses exercised to discern good and evil, are already taking root downward and starting to bear forth fruit upward. Okay, so the one preaches Christ, of contention, again trying to resolve the things by the moral code and not sincerely, being of pure heart, being of pure conscience. Okay, when he says sincerely right here, he's not talking about the sincerity of one's endeavor, because people, no matter what their occupation is in life, are very sincere in their endeavors. Okay, whether one be a terrorist. Okay, a terrorist is very sincere in his endeavor. Okay, of the goals that he wants to accomplish, he's very, very sincere in that, or pure as concerning that endeavor. But he's not pure in conscience. His conscience is defiled. That's why Satan is ruling over him. Okay, so when Paul says here sincerely, he's not putting us, in that grouping as concerning the endeavor of the moral code. Okay, but rather being pure of a conscience, being pure of conscience. Okay, and having a heart full of light. So here he says right here, the one preaches Christ of contention and not sincerely, being of pure heart and conscience, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, and whose temperament being evil, adds conflict to your refuge. Whose temperament being evil adds conflict to your refuge. They want, because those which are embracing that form of knowledge will stand against government. They will stand against government, standing in their own self-determination. One of the things the apostles brought out, both Peter and Jude and the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, brings to our attention that in the last days particularly, and in the end times which we're living in, that many will stand against government as a refuge. They'll stand against it to stand in self-determination, the direction which they want to go with the aspiration. And supposing to add affliction to my bonds, and by that gospel that they're tethered to is the gospel, there's the wrong gospel. And being tethered to the wrong gospel, they're also tethered to the wrong altar, whereas strange fire exists. And we talked about that last time as concerning Aaron's two sons. Nadab and Abihu, who died because of strange fire. But they had all the ingredients, okay, but yet the fire that which they were adding to this, which they were drawing from, okay, contaminated the whole work. Now, in verse 17, the Apostle Paul showing the other rhythm here, okay, but the other of love. Okay, now when he says love right here, he's not talking about the emotional love of one's sincerity, okay, because we can smother each other in all kinds of flattery, okay, of, you see, the flattery or the sincerity and the emotions of the world, okay, and possess no truth as concerning Christ. Okay, and we know that many religious systems have sprung up, okay, with that influence, particularly the charismatic movement, okay, gained much notoriety simply because of the smothering of one's enthusiasm and emotional, okay, and emotions, that this wave of emotion, okay, was carrying along, okay, this particular manifestation, and many people were ensnared with this, and being ensnared, they became entrapped, and being entrapped, okay, they were no longer fruitful concerning their faith. Okay, but instead that they became entangled in relationships and issues. Okay, so they were no longer useful, okay, in the kingdom of God. Okay, and of course the Apostle Paul brings it out to Timothy there, okay, and also in the book of Thessalonians, he brings that out. Okay, that the usefulness concerning the kingdom of God, okay, became thwarted, okay, because of these distractions. Now, but the other of love here. Now, those of faith and true charity, knowing this, they're able to weigh on the scales, okay, the true scales of truth. They're able to weigh on the true scales of truth. Is this evil or this good? Okay, is this evil or this good? So, okay, as you continue to grow in the grace of God, little children, young men, and fathers, as you continue to grow in the grace of God, okay, then your senses will be exercised so that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the word wiles has to do with, say, approaches or tricks. Okay, tricks of Satan. Satan knows your weak points. Okay, whether it's the emotional weak point, he'll approach you that way. Or is it the intellectual weak point? Well, he'll approach you that way. Okay, is it for the substance of life? Then he'll approach you that way. Okay, as a lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and a pride of life. Okay, so we know that Satan's approach, as he walks around the perimeters, okay, of your boundaries, the perimeters or the boundaries, okay, of your soul, as he stalks around the perimeters, he's looking for a weak point. Okay, and when he knows that he can gain a point of access, it's always going to be with the imagination. If the imagination is, if you're working with your emotions, if your gospel is centered upon feelings, flattery. Remember, we talked about the warning of that, okay, concerning flattery, fantasy, and finance. Okay, not money in itself, okay, but the pursuit and covetousness of that. Okay, the pursuit of these things, okay, removes you from patience, and the pursuit of these things also thwarts the long suffering of God working within you. Faith and patience is absolutely necessary in order for you to remain free from these entanglements. Okay? When you become anxious, okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out, when you become anxious, okay, the adversary sees the anxiousness, okay, or you could say the troubling of the soul. When you become anxious, as Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Be anxious for nothing. When a soul becomes anxious, the adversary is trying to gain entrance, okay, through the imagination, so that he will agitate the aspiration. And agitating the aspiration, and the aspiration is attached to the moral code. The moral code is attached to the flesh. The flesh is, of course, attached to the kingdom of darkness. Okay? And with this collusion between the moral code, flesh, and darkness, which has to do with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, okay, with this collusion, you become victimized. Become ensnared, and that's called Satan's wiles. So he talks about the perimeters, okay, the boundaries, okay, of your imagination, looking for a weak point. Okay, and with this, you have no defense. The defense is in the refuge of the stewardship, okay, of the calling, okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out also in Corinthians there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, or or 1 Corinthians chapter 4, okay, whereas he brings out it's concerning being as stewards of the mysteries of Christ. Okay, and in fact, I'm going to turn over there right now. Okay, let a man so count of us. Now I'm in chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. You can make a notation on this. Let a man so count of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now you notice that now when he says right here, stewards of the mysteries, he's talking about the tethering. The tethering, verse 22 of chapter 3. Okay, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Okay, the tethering is through the stewardship. Okay, the tethering is through the stewardship, and the stewardship recognizes the headship, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. And so, he says here, let a man so count of us as the ministers of Christ, okay, as servants to the kingdom of the Spirit, the rhythm of the Spirit, and stewards of the mysteries. Okay, now I'm going back over to Philippians. So our steward of the mystery, he's not talking about types and shadows, but he is talking about is concerning that work of regeneration. Okay, unfolding Christ, okay, through the work of regeneration, okay, and renewing of the mind. Okay, Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is your experience, then Jesus Christ would be your fruit. Okay, but if your experience is based upon the moral code, then your fruit is going to be with contention, envy and strife, variance and emulation. Okay, these are the things which trouble the soul, but they don't purge the conscience. Okay, truth will challenge the conscience. Okay, because its temperament is the things of God. Okay, to bring you into, you say, okay, a perspective, okay, of God's throne and a behavior of His court. Okay. This is what truth will do, because truth begins to help you identify these boundaries, okay, and also the places of or weak points where Satan will try to gain entrance through the imagination. So as you continue to grow in the grace of God, okay, and he says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Okay, 1 John talks about that, 1 John chapter 2. Okay, so the other of love, and now I'm back in Philippians chapter 1, verse 17, but the other of love, being those of faith, okay, and true charity, knowing and weighing on the scales of truth, okay, that I am set for a defense of the gospel. See, that's the second time he mentioned that, okay, which also he mentions the first time in verse 7. So what would be good to do is take your highlighter, okay, maybe it could be a pink one or a green one, okay, but you can highlight the word defense there, okay, or yellow, in verse 17, and draw a line from the word defense in verse 17 to 10 verses over there to verse 7, if you can. Okay. So the word defense has to do with refuge. Refuge is in government. Government is in the stewardship. Okay, that means those whom God anoints, okay, as concerning preparation of truth, okay, for the purpose of adding stability to your Christian growth, as concerning strong consolation. Strong consolation will come through the stewardship. Okay, but if the strong consolation isn't forthcoming, then what stewardship are you identifying with? Okay, if strong consolation isn't forthcoming, then what stewardship are you identifying with? Okay, well, this is the pretense he brings out here in verse 18. So as a true steward of Christ, Paul says, being a fortress for you. Okay, what then? In verse 18, what then? As concerning the bridge of the breach. Okay, if the Apostle Paul is identifying himself as a bridge. Okay, the grace of God is a bridge. Okay, it's a bridge because it's traversing or it's making a way clear. It's clearing a way. Okay, for your growth. Okay, just like the Apostle, or not the Apostle John, but John the Baptist said. Okay, as concerning his stewardship, okay, being a prophet. Okay, he says, I'm making the way of the Lord straight. Okay, because the serpent is the crooked way. Okay, the serpent is the crooked way. Okay, in other words, okay, when a snake moves, okay, when it moves through the in its direction there, okay, it's traversing. Okay, it's not going straight. It's really going sideways. in order to gain its objective, is going sideways. Okay, and so the prophet John, okay, was giving knowledge to the people to make straight the ways of the Lord. Okay, so that the people, okay, would not be confounded at the presentation of the new week. Because John the Baptist was a bridge, okay, announcing the true bridge, Jesus Christ, between the weeks, between the fifth week of David and the first eighth week concerning Christ in that covenant, the covenant which he gave. Okay, now verse 18. What then, he says, notwithstanding in every way, okay, as concerning your discernment, okay, whether in pretense or in truth. Now the word pretense here, okay, has to do with the fake, the feign, or the counterfeit. Okay, the counterfeit. Okay, or dissimulation. Okay, that there are those which are able to fake, okay, counterfeit or feign, okay, the things of the Lord. Okay, they're able to do that. Okay, by the moral code. If Satan is able to do it, if he's able to portray himself as a minister of righteousness, if he's able to quote scripture, now Satan can quote scripture. Okay. Satan is able to deceive people, to make people think that he has a deliverance ministry or healing ministry. Okay, because the devils also can do the same thing. Okay, the devils, particularly the lion bearer, okay, that's what his name is, the lion bearer, and he's over many legions of demons. Okay, and one of his tricks has to do with deliverance. Deliverance, which means that he is able to possess. Now this is by God's authorization, but he's able to possess and recall. He's able to possess and recall. It's the same thing with the seven sisters, the demons. These seven sisters called which are demons. Okay, they're able to do the same thing. They're able to transform and to trick the mind. Okay, through a false healing ministry, they're able to afflict and reverse it. Okay, but God authorizes that. Okay, God authorizes that as concerning afflict and reversing. Okay, for the purpose that those which do not love God, okay, will be assigned over to a seducing spirit. Now, if the beast is going to do this in the seventh week, how much more did he do that in the first week or in the first eighth week? Okay, he did that in the first eighth week in the false healing ministry, false deliverance ministry. The apostles gained great experience and insight as concerning these kingdoms. And with Jesus, okay, we know that when Jesus was confronted by the devil, okay, the devil pretended to take interest in Jesus' welfare by saying, take unto you great power and turn these stones into bread. Okay, seeing that you're finished your fast now, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Okay, and of course we know that the devil also can quote scripture. Satan is not afraid to quote scripture because he can quote precept, okay, without conforming the truth, because the precept isn't truth. Okay, we know truth are facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay, so we can see that people can quote a precept without being in covenant with God. Okay, so here, back in verse 17. So the other love, knowing that I am set for defense and a refuge of the gospel as a true steward. See, what then, notwithstanding in every way, whether in pretense, okay, as with the pretense of the moral code, okay, that the moral code is able to fake, to feign, and to counterfeit, okay, the knowledge of God. It's able to fake, to feign, and to counterfeit it. Okay, it's a mannequin Christianity. It's a mannequin type of Christianity. It's a store window Christianity. Okay, it has all the appearance of righteousness, but possesses no power. Okay, the work of Christ is absent from that. Okay, but here the Apostle Paul says, in pretense or in truth. Okay, so he's again giving us contrast here. Okay, the sanctified altar and the false altar. But anyway, he says Christ is preached. That means his name is heard throughout all Asia. Okay, his the gospel at this time is heard throughout all Asia, the seven churches of Asia. Okay, Christ is preached. His name is being referenced to. Okay, and Paul says, and because of this, I will rejoice. Okay, but he really rejoices and builds only in truth. So therein do I rejoice as concerning the name of Christ, okay, and will rejoice is concerning the building of it. Okay, so he says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Now he'll be bringing that out here later on in chapter 4. Okay, chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Okay, so we're not rejoicing just in word only, but rejoicing in deed. Okay, and that's what the Apostle John said. Okay, the Apostle John brings the same thing out, that we love not in word only, but also in deed, okay, and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, that our expression of charity from the foundation of truth continues to add fruit to the vine. Okay, continues to increase the house of God. Okay, but the pretense doesn't. It points, you say it can give direction, okay, but not substance to it. There's no substance to it. It's a mannequin. Okay, so Christ is preached, and therein I do rejoice, yes, and he says, and will rejoice. Okay, because I'm building with the true altar. Okay, the true altar of the true priesthood, and not the gospel of Baal, okay, being the Jesus of one's own record and moral code. The gospel of Baal is a gospel of the moral code, okay, which addresses the issues and relationships of the conflicts that exist within the conscience. Okay, it addresses those things, but doesn't resolve it. Okay, that's why the heathen are always repenting. Okay, they're always running, okay, to the front of the church and asking the Lord to continue to forgive them for the struggles of their frailty. And the Lord says, "But I have provided redemption for you. All you have to do, okay, is use the tools of my priesthood." Okay, when of course in the tools of priesthood doesn't mean apart from the government. You have to have all these things, which we always emphasize. Government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, gifts, callings, and graces of God. These are all the ingredients that must be present. The absence from that, okay, is pretense. Okay, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation, that the judgment which God has set for our struggle, our experience, and for our senses to be exercised is for our salvation. See, that's what he brings out in verse 19. The things that God has assigned to us is not by chance. It's by design. Okay, that's why we're called his craftsmanship. Okay, his craftsmanship. Verse 8 and 9 of Ephesians talks about that. Okay, for we are his craftsmanship. Right, created in Christ Jesus and the good works. Remember where everybody quotes on that. Okay, in chapter 2 there, Ephesians 2. Not of works, as any man should boast. Okay, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, as any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, or craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And this is what Paul's bringing out in Philippians. Those good works, his craftsmanship, the experience he's provided for, these are his judgments. Okay, these are the things which he determines every day in the throne room. Okay, in the throne room in Arabot. Okay, the seventh heaven. Okay, these things are being determined, okay, by the holy watchers, okay, and by holy watchers and the holy ones. Okay, in the courts of the Lord, these things are being determined and being carried out by his ministering spirits. Okay, for our experience, for our choice, a rewarding of our choices of faith and our growth. So now we're being created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, which I just brought to your attention there. Okay, so for now I'm back in Philippians chapter 1. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Okay, we got all that there, just the word salvation. Salvation is a salvaging that takes place through these encounters. Okay, not for the purpose of spoiling, but for the purpose of pruning. Now Jesus said the same thing concerning the pruning. Okay, now the pruning is necessary. The pruning hurts, but the pruning is necessary. Okay, but as you continue to be steadfast, okay, with your priestly duties, okay, concerning your prayer times, and of course we're still waiting for the for people to send those in, okay, concerning the prayer times of the year 2007, okay, when you send those in, then we're going to be posting those. Okay, this is part of your stewardship. Okay, you can't be a strong Christian and have a weak prayer life. That's not going to happen. If you're trying to embrace the knowledge of God apart from a strong prayer or a weak prayer life, okay, that's not going to happen either. Okay, because your prayers accompany these things as the incense accompany the sacrifices of the altar. Okay? So you have to utilize the whole armory of God. Okay, comparing the armor of God is the vestments of your priesthood. You have to use these things. You have no choice in the matter. You have to use these things. Okay, so that's why it says right here, verse 19, as concerning, shall turn to my salvation. The conflicts that exist for your experience of life, okay, continues to add fruit to the vine, okay, adds fruit to your branches. Okay, but don't lose heart. Okay? Continue to be steadfast with these things. Okay, and there will be peace upon you and upon the Israel of God, because we are the true Israel of God, those that walk by faith. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Okay. And here he says, through your prayer, it says, as a gift to our judge. Okay. And of course, the first John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 bring that out. It's concerning our advocate. Jesus Christ is an advocate, okay, teaching us the behavior of his courts. Okay. Whereas we have a release of all offenses toward God, because Jesus is a propitiation for our sins, not for his only, but also for the whole world, the sins of the whole world. He's provided an avenue of forgiveness if the world would just come to the knowledge of receiving this by his grace. Okay? But because they're resisting the grace of God, okay, they're resisting their only chance to experience his efficacy, okay, and a propitiation, because they're refusing his commandments. For I know that this should turn to my salvation through your prayers, or through your prayer as a gift to the judge and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Okay, again, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is that his word is continually his word towards us is continually enriching us. And he continues to communicate to us in dreams and visions and, okay, prophecy and words of knowledge. Okay, the gifts to God, the gifts to callings, the graces of God. Okay, these things are the ingredients of this table, okay, which we are partaking of. In verse 20, he goes on, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. Now, the earnest expectation is, again, that of a pure heart. Okay, just like the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Now, those which are poor in spirit, he's not talking about your financial situation. He's talking about blessed are those poor in spirit, has to do with being absent of the aspiration. If your aspiration is loud, you're not poor in spirit. Okay, if your aspiration is loud, if you're full of aspiration, then you're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, okay, that means you're poor in spirit. Okay, have to do with being of humble mind, a humble mind and a vessel full of faith. Okay, so according to my earnest expectation, those which are pure in heart, okay, are in a true hope of his promise and his true joy. So according to my earnest expectation and my hope, the hope of this promise, okay, that through this form of engagement, through this form of contact with the tools of your priesthood, okay, we are continually coming forth as fruit bearers, okay, awaiting the wages of our labor. Okay, of our inheritance. The wages of our labor as an inheritance and fruit bearing and also our perception being circumcised. Okay, that we see things from the throne now. Okay, when we were in a kingdom of darkness, we only saw things from our own perception, and that was twisted. That was the way of the serpent. It was crooked. Okay, it was a valley. Okay, it was a valley. It was a breach in the land. Okay, and you had to continue to your foot travel. Okay, it was like your foot travel is like walking along the rims of the Grand Canyon. Okay, walking around the rims of the Grand Canyon, there was no bridge. Okay, but then of course, now the helicopter acts as a placebo bridge. Okay, it can take you from one rim and bring you to the other side of the other rim. Okay, it's like a placebo bridge. Okay, well, Christ is our bridge. Okay, that we're no longer traversing around the rim of these afflictions, but rather he has bridged them for us with his grace. Okay, so according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, okay, being void of fruit. I'm not void of fruit, he says. Okay, I'm not ashamed, because hope maketh not ashamed, okay, as the Apostle John brings out. Okay, hope maketh not ashamed. Okay, and the Apostle Paul says the same thing in Romans, hope maketh not ashamed. Okay, that is, you continue to pursue being steadfast, okay, with the three C's. We remember talk about the three C's: communication, conformity, and consistency. Okay, if you're lacking in consistency, you're going to lack in fruit. You're also going to be short-sighted or dim-sighted. Okay, if you're lacking in your form of communication. Okay, now form of communication has to do with concerning your doxologies. Okay, if you're lacking in those things, okay, you'll become short-sighted. Okay, but again, also your conformity to government. If your conformity to government is lacking, okay, then you can be confounded. Okay, when the time comes when God has assigned you a judgment for experience, you're going to be confounded. If you're confounded, then you're very weak in the areas of your prayer life. You're very weak in the areas of study of doctrine. Okay, you're very weak in your participation of the assembly. Okay? All these things are necessary. You just can't say, I'm going to offer my sacrifices on Sunday and expect to live a strong Christian life, okay, with no engagement throughout the whole week. Okay, if you're going to live in a spirit, walk in a spirit, you have to live in a spirit, as the Apostle Paul brings out. If you're in the temple, then you also have to partake of the altar. Now, you have to eat of the altar of the temple if you're in a temple. Okay, so your priesthood is absolutely necessary, okay, throughout the whole week, not just on the selected days. Now, that's why good habits are hard to make and bad habits are hard to break. If you have a bad habit of prayer, then what you need to do is to sit down and you need to think through, or even to write it out. And write it out or post it. Write it on a 3x5 card, or write it on a 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. You know, use a marker, make it bold in your print as concerning your schedule. Okay, if you're going to have a busy schedule through the day, you're going to have to get up early. If you have to get up early, then it's necessary for you to get to bed early too. Okay, all right. If you can't get to bed late at night and expect to get up early in the morning, okay, and start your day in prayer, okay, you can't expect that. If you're going to stay up late, then you're going to be very weak-willed when it comes in the morning of your commitments. Okay, and then what happens is this becomes a habit of life. Okay, it becomes a habit of life. Now, those are the bad habits that you have to break. Okay, so we need to sit down and write out as concerning, okay, your habit of life. If you're not satisfied with your spiritual life right now, then you need to take stock. Okay, and you need to follow the instructions of your chief steward. Okay, that you will not cause grief to the body of Christ, but rather instead of robbing stones from the wall and building your own shrine for your own confidence, you're taking stones and putting them into the wall of the Lord, okay, building a refuge for everybody else. If you're not building a refuge, then you're stealing. And that's what Jesus said, he that gathers not with me scatters abroad. Okay, if you're scattering abroad, it's because, okay, your form of Christianity is very weak. Okay, so you're stealing stones from the tower of the Lord and building your own little shrine with it. You're building your own little fortification with it in order to try to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay? And of course, that's not going to work. A shrine is not going to work for you. Okay? You have to contribute. Your contribution is to put stones into the wall for the whole body, for the whole community. Okay? Then you're going to have strength. Okay? But if you're stealing from the wall and taking ownership of it and building a little shrine for yourself, okay, and telling everybody, oh, everybody come over to my little shrine over here, okay, and see my shrine, honor my shrine, which I have built, okay, from the stones of this temple over here, or from the stones of the wall, okay, then that detracts and everybody becomes a victim. Okay. So if you don't want to be a victim, then you're going to have to be a contributor. A contributor is one that's going to have to assign themselves time to pray every day. You have to do it. If you want to be saved, you have to do it. Okay? But then when it comes to the time of reward, okay, you can stand with the Lord, and then the Lord is going to tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. You are consistent with my tools. But there's a lot of people that are hoping for that time of confirmation, and that won't come. Okay? Because they're weak in their commitments. They're weak in their building. Okay, that's what Paul said. Wherefore, lift up the hands to hang down the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. Are you going to contribute or are you going to sit? Okay, so a laborer is one that contributes. That's why they're called laborers. Okay, a laborer isn't one that just is, you know, is a thief. Okay, a laborer is one that contributes. A thief steals, and that's what Satan did. See, Satan stole. Okay, or Satan assimilated a system similar to God's. Okay, and then he stole, as concerning the structure. He stole the structure. Okay, and then he tried to take ownership of God's tools. Okay, to rob the hearts of people of faith. That's why they're called ministers of unrighteousness. Okay, because they're trying to create a stewardship in their own self-determination, and stealing gold from the altar, or stealing gold or stones from the wall. Okay, and building it on their own. Okay, now, if people did that during the times of Ezra, they would have been arrested. Okay, but let's go on here. Okay, as we continue on here in verse 19, let's read that and we'll move on. I want to get the word shamed here, ashamed. Verse 20, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation, that is through your prayers. So there's that now everyone is contributing, and here we have the word supply. Okay, a supply. Now, where is this supply going to come from? Okay, where it's going to come from the throne. Okay, and it's going to be manifested through you, a supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Okay, which is, he says in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation. Okay, and my hope, that is, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, being void of fruit, but with all boldness, which has to do with open face. Boldness, open face, our conscience, because our conscience is pure, we can stand with all confidence before the Lord. Not false confidence or self-confidence, but with his confidence, the confidence of grace. That with all boldness, open face, as always, because this is his consistency, Paul says, I have been consistent with this. Ever since I entered into covenant with God, I have been consistent with this as I have been taught, okay, through Barnabas and other elders of the faith. Okay, as I was taught, I was consistent. Okay, and as he grew, God also continued to unfold his calling to him. Okay, so nothing I should be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so also now at this time, Christ shall be magnified. Okay, he'll be increased. And of course, represented in my body, this true temple. Okay, the temple that resides within me, this body, this vessel, this temple. Okay, not the temple of stone, but the temple of flesh. Okay, whether it be by life or by death. Okay, and this is his judgment. His judgments are true, whether by life or by death. And even concerning your cycles of growth. Okay, whether it be present or absent. Okay, whether present or absent, we are always with the Lord. Okay, so whether it be by life or by death. Now look at verse 21 here. For to me to live is Christ. This is the rhythm of the Spirit. I live by the rhythm of the Spirit, he says. And to die is gain. I'm crucified with the moral code. Okay, my moral code is crucified with Christ because Jesus was physically crucified to the cross. When Jesus' flesh was nailed to the cross, so also was my moral code. Okay, put to death. Okay, because Jesus provided a new covenant for us, that blood, okay, and rising from the dead, now he's enforcing this, okay, so that now that we are dead with him, we also live with him. Okay, as Paul brings out, well, he'll be reading about this here in chapter 3, is concerning by the power of his resurrection, okay, being made conformable unto his death, chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him, not the moral code, but know him and the power of his resurrection. So being crucified with Christ has to do with being put to death the flesh, the moral code, okay, which always wants to stand for itself and wants to own its own logic, because it puts a price tag on its own logic. Okay, and Jesus said they're going to hate you for this, because that's why Jesus was talking to him concerning remembering. Remember the word that I sent unto you. If they have persecuted me, they're also going to persecute you. If they kept my sayings, they'll keep yours also. Because what I have given to you doesn't confirm the moral code of the flesh, but it does confirm the record of my faith. Okay, and the world will hate you and despise the record of my faith, because the record of my faith will not give value, nor will it conform or confirm the moral code. Okay, as the Pharisees stood. All right, and Jesus identified that spirit. Okay, when he says you're of your father the devil, okay, for with your lips you honor God, okay, the lips have to do with concerning the moral code. Okay, the moral code can confess, Okay, but yet the soul is void of faith. The moral goal can confess good things. Okay, but the heart absent of faith, okay, has to do with that, what Jesus says, your heart is far from him. Okay, you honor him with your heart, or you honor him with your lips, but your heart is far from him. Okay, as Jesus was saying to the Pharisees. All right, well, let's go on here. For to me to live is Christ, verse 21, and to die is gain. So because of this, he is not ashamed being void of that fruit. I am not ashamed of this gospel, he says, because it is the power of God. Okay, Romans chapter 1 talks about that. Unto salvation. The knowledge which I am giving to you, Paul said, okay, is accompanied with the Spirit to give life, okay, to purge the conscience, to give substance and life in the soul. The true substance, the living substance, not the placebo substance, the false substance. Okay, not the substance of death, but the substance of life. So whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, by the rhythm of the Spirit, and to die is gain. As I crucify the moral code by faith, we increase with that. Okay, now verse 22, okay, he goes on here, but if we live in the flesh, now he says in the flesh, he's not talking about the moral code. At this point, he's talking about us concerning the vessel of his body. Okay, now I'm in the vessel of this body. And being in the vessel of this body, okay, this is what I have been assigned to at this present time. Okay, my labor is to focus on the spiritual things. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Okay, this is right now the taste of the season. The taste of the season has to do with the seasons of your growth. We all go through seasons of our growth, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Galatians. We talked about that. Okay, that we can rejoice in due season. Okay, the due season has to do with that. There's a time of what she brings out here. There's a time of death. There's a time of life. Okay, there's a time of increase and there's a time of loss. Okay, there's a time of sowing and there's a time of reaping, spiritually speaking. Okay, there's a time of labor and there's a time of reward and where you rest from your labor. Okay, of course the book of Ecclesiastes brings this out as concerning the rhythm of nature. Okay, instinctively and also spiritually, they're parallel, but they're two different entities. Okay, the rhythm of nature is one entity. Okay, because it works in the moral code, and there's the rhythm of the Spirit, which is the unity of God. Okay, okay, it's empowered by the Holy Ghost, the unity of God. Okay, but now verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, that is my body. This is the fruit of my labor. This is what I've been assigned to now, as concerning this season and this fruit bearing. Yet what I shall choose, I want not, because it's God that designed my season. Okay, God designs your seasons. Okay, now we just went through a seasonal change. Now in every dissolution, there's increase. Okay, where there's loss and destruction, there's building. Okay, that's what God said to Moses. Okay, God said the same thing to Moses. I kill and I make alive. Okay, I wound and I heal. Okay, I destroy and I build up. Okay, so this is the same thing that Jesus said. Okay, that unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides by itself. Okay, but now I'm going to be crucified. And when I'm crucified and I'm buried, okay, then I'm going to spring forth a new day, new life, the third day, the empowerment is now manifested. So experience works hope. See, tribulation works experience, and experience works hope, and hope maketh not ashamed.